Hello and welcome to Rocket Ship Public School's Teacher PD Launchpad, which is a free resource hub created for elementary school teachers by elementary school teachers. And today is our first audio interview where we are going to be chatting with one of our teachers to share something new that they've implemented in their classroom environment and also learn more about their background, how they got into teaching, why they stay in teaching, and what keeps them at Rocket Ship and what they're excited about these days. So today we are talking with Brandon LaBella, who is a teacher at Rocket Ship Spark Academy in San Jose, California. And he's currently a fifth grade teacher and teaches English language arts and math. And he's been with Rocket Ship for the last 2 years, and he's been teaching for a total of 5 years. And today, I'm specifically talking with him because he started implementing this new program into our learning labs. And learning lab is something that Rocket Ship has at each of its school. And we wanted to create a dynamic environment where students develop skills like communication, collaboration, creativity, and critical thinking, essentially skills that help them thrive in the 21st century. And so this is a space where there are different blocks or centers that students are participating in different activities to cultivate those skills. And Brandon brought in guests that are outside of Rocket Ship virtually through Zoom to share about their life experiences, different entrepreneur businesses, efforts that they've started, and efforts to get them inspired and bring in new perspectives for what's possible in their future. And I thought that was just a really exciting thing that definitely would benefit students. And he's going to share more about it, as well as his educational journey and what's keeping him inspired these days. So listen in and enjoy.
Welcome, Brandon. Thanks for joining us. So today I wanted to chat with you to hear more about your story getting into teaching, but also I feel like the very few times that I've interacted with you, I've noticed that you kind of have this vibe as a teacher where you create these inspiring, very positivity driven spaces, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, I think especially when it comes to kids, you want to make and find ways to create environments where they feel positive, where they feel confident in themselves, where they believe in themselves. You don't know what's going on when they're not in the classroom, and just making sure that they feel valued and they feel like they are understood every single day is really important. So I make sure to make that effort to have that connection and that deep connection with each one of my students, so that I know how they're doing, and making sure that I check in with them, and making sure that, you know, some days, you know, is not the best for everyone. You know, every student has their days that they're off, and I always tell them that's great. You know, you can solve your off days, but you could be a positive about having your off days. You could be positive about being sad or being mad, and they get that. You know, they say, I know right now I'm not feeling great, but I'll feel better later. So know how to address that. So I think it's extremely important to give that, you know, environment to the children, especially at their young ages, and something they could always remember with. I know that some of my like prior students have always said, like, I always remember, like, no matter what happens, to, you know, stay positive, to like always be happy, whatever that means, because everyone has the power to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be happy all the time, but they can you know, believe in themselves, be confident, and know that the storm is going to pass and they're going to learn from it.
Kind of silver lining. That's cool. And maybe to start, if you want to tell us where you teach and what grade you teach and how long you've been doing that for.
Sure. So I teach at Rocket Ship Spark Academy. I'm a fifth grade general education teacher, which means that I teach both math and reading. This is my second year at Rocket Ship. I taught ELA last year. And so it's been a really fun transition, learning not only still teaching ELA, but also adding math onto that plate, and learning about, you know, the excitement of math, and obviously going through the first year of teaching a new subject. Mm-hmm. But this is my fifth year teaching in total. I started my teaching journey in Hong Kong back in 2018. And that was really, really exciting. I was at a private learning center over there and taught about 40 to 50 kids over the course of a week from all different ages, from ages 5 to 12. And I learned so much from that experience about the different culture over there, the way that the students were respecting me, how their parents, you know, what their parents' expectations were. And it seemed that in Hong Kong at that time, everything was all about activities. It was all about filling up their schedule with the most amount of activities. So when the students came to be in my classroom, they were overwhelmed, they were overworked, they were really tired. They go from piano to swimming to here, and it's all about who can do more, who can, you know, become the smartest, who can do the most activities. And so that was a really good starting point, because when they came into my classroom, they kind of let go, they let loose, they had fun, and they found ways to find enjoyment in learning, which is something that they're not used to doing over there. And then the riots actually came in June 2019. So I was there for a year, and it got really dangerous to be over there, especially with the way that you teach. And, you know, maybe if I was like, you know, stay positive of something, you know, maybe they wouldn't come in and do something. So after that, I kind of went back home and started teaching in Harlem, in New York City. And that was at another charter school. So that was my first experience with charter schools. And I really like, you know, the passion. I really like the foundation of that parent partnership. That's one of like my greatest joys here, is making those deep, authentic connections with the parents. And for being in Harlem, I really saw that, the power of that and the excitement of the kids, the passion. And so that was really good stepping stone for myself. So I taught first and second grade there. And then I ended up getting my master's at Fordham. I realized that teaching was for me. I realized that I really wanted to be a teacher, and I wanted to be the best teacher I could be. So I ended up getting my master's in teaching. And that's when I graduated and decided that I was going to take my talents to California. And so after that, I taught a year in a public school in New York while I was getting my master's. And that was a really enlightening experience too, because I had such positive relationships with the kids. We had a lot of outdoor activities planned. We had a lot of really cool events at the school, and I really found a home there, but I didn't feel like it had that academic focus, that parent focus that really drove to really strong results for the kids and for relationships with families. And so I wanted something a little more focused and prioritized on that. And that's where I found Rocket Ship, and feels like being here is home. I'm so grateful every day to come to work with, you know, my Spark family. The kids just greet me with joy. I feel very supported by school leaders. And so just really lucky to fell upon this, and just cherishing and embracing it for as ever long it lasts. So.
Yeah. Oh, what a cool story. That's so interesting that you started in Hong Kong. And before that, I had heard briefly from a video clip you submitted for something else on why you teach, that you were in the finance industry before, like you studied finance or something like that.
Yeah. So I studied my undergrad degree in finance at William & Mary. So I was, and that's like a top 10 business program over there. So everyone who comes out of there, you know, it's a feeder school for investment banks and other really strong business, you know, companies where you can make a lot of money out of school. And so I started working at IBM, and that was my junior year over there. And then after working there, I really enjoyed, you know, making money, but I used that money and saved it up to travel and have these really rich experiences, and realized that although that was fun, me sitting in front of a computer doing something that wasn't really fulfilling was not really my passion or my enjoyment. And I wanted to, you know, never work a day of my life again. So when I found teaching, it's something where I could really enjoy it. I really felt fulfilled. I had a couple of different experiences when I was traveling where I met people who had so much less than where I came from, and realized how happy they were, how excited they were about life, and realized that it's really not how much money you make, but it's more so about, you know, the joy and experiences you have with your family, with your friends, with the people around you. And that's where I kind of found teaching. And in that kind of same window, I started getting into a lot of different outdoor activities combined with like rebuilding schools or raising money for charity regarding education. And that was really cool as well. I ran a marathon in New York City on crutches to raise money for this organization called Pencils of Promise, where they build schools for, you know, the 250 million people around the world who can't read. We ran a marathon in Singapore to rebuild a school in Indonesia. And we hiked Kilimanjaro to do the same thing, support that charity Pencils of Promise. So I really believe in the power of, you know, raising money and the excitement of doing activities to inspire and like influence other people to read better, to live better, to live like healthier lives. So really appreciate that part of my journey as well.
Yeah. Wow. You've done so many things in so many different angles related to education. That's super cool. And so kind of your time at Rocket Ship, I remember when I came into your classroom, I noticed something. I was there to take photos, like just for our usual photo refresh. And there was something on your whiteboard that said, I think it said like, it's a great day to be alive. I thought that was such an intentional way to frame like a teaching environment. Like it's a great day to be alive in that positive respect. And then also this learning lab kind of revamp that you've been doing in some ways, or you mentioned that you're bringing in outside guests outside of Rocket Ship into the learning lab. And for folks who aren't familiar with learning lab, like learning lab is kind of a independent learning space of sorts. Maybe you can describe it, but from what I've seen, it's like there's rotational blocks in some schools where sometimes they're doing like chess or like robotics, or but every school does it differently. So maybe you can explain what learning lab is and then this guest teacher approach you've been bringing in.
Sure. Yeah. So learning lab is a really important block in the day that we really value at Rocket Ship. And it's basically to let the kids really explore socialization, explore really important topics that research projects, learn about history, do really cool hands-on activities with their friends, with, you know, other people in the class that don't know so much, and work together and build those connections, build some cool projects, improve those confidence with the presentations that they do. So I've been blessed to have an amazing Learning Lab teacher. Her name is Miss Ari, and she does Learning Lab on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And every single day, they do something really cool. And in the beginning of the year, they did projects on Native Americans and made different, like, you know, tribal posters and sharing that. And whether it's luck or whatever it may be, on Thursdays, I got the blessing of continuing to teach Learning Lab because there's another commitment that she has with another class. And so instead of being, oh, you know, that's more work, I got super excited and was like, you know, let's make this really purposeful. Let's make this really fun. And I remember last year, I brought on about like 3 or 4 guests and the kids were absolutely loving it. They were all actually via Zoom. But one of them, he was like, worked on American Ninja Warriors on the TV show. And he was part of this like pencil gang, and he built schools for Pencils of Promise as well. So, you know, bringing him on, was everyone was so excited. They're all asking questions. They look up to him, you know, like asking about life. Then we had an author, Jordan Gross, and he was going to teaching them a little bit about how to believe in themselves, how to like find their purpose, find their passion. And then we had one of my good friends, JJ. He's also an author, and he's like a hedge fund manager, but on the side, he really likes to spread kindness and share a message of a person with food allergies, and how we can choose to be defined by what we're allergic to and what we can't have and what we can't do, or what we can do. And so I felt like that was a really important message to really start off the year for not only last year, but this year, and six with the kids, about how we live in the land of can, where we can do things. Maybe we can't do it yet, but at the same time, we're always thinking about we will be able to get there. And we shouldn't be defined by the fact that I can't really play guitar that well, or I can't really eat nuts, but at the same time, we can be defined by what we are good at, by what we can do. And that's a really important message. So I think in very short, I think the two key components of the Learning Lab, like that I do on Thursdays, is more about exposure to things that the students may be passionate about, whether that's coding, whether that's learning languages, whether that's finding a college they want to go to, or finding what they really enjoy doing, whether that's sports, whatever that may be. And then I think the second part of it is really understanding like where they can go, what is at the end of the line here, and giving them really tangible real world applications. And that's when we brought in a musician, Ed, over here, who has built many businesses. And he started off by really showing them and exploring different types of music. And we showed music from classical music to, you know, different like concerts, right? So all these different types of music, and the kids were so engaged. They're really interested. And then how we have different tastes of music and why we're grateful for music. And then at the end of the day, we kind of switched the second half to be like entrepreneurship, and they all had to make their little business ideas and do like a Shark Tank pitch about like, you know, how to like make money and invest. And it's so important for them to understand, you know, the foundation of money, the foundation of where this is all going, because at the end of the day, it's not about checking the boxes and just, you know, moving on to the next grade. It's about finding something that you could potentially do, that you could potentially love. And by giving them that opportunity, it was also really cool that Ms. Rojas, who's She's a fan favorite here all across Rocket Ship. She graduated from Rocket Ship and she's our Care Corps community member. And she has done amazing things with the community, but also she came in and, you know, shared her journey about going to college and just the kids lit up, you know, looking at pictures of, you know, her study abroad experience about how she, you know, went to college, you know, and what that looks like and how she has this job that she loves. And so it's really important to give them exposure to real world things to help them understand like how it relates to them and connect with that and, you know, help them set goals, help them set, you know, visions or dreams in the future of what they could want to be. So it gives them a little head start on that.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. Especially the variety of folks you brought in. Sounds like it really hits a lot of different angles. So everyone can, I'm sure, get inspired by something. What kind of, you mentioned like kind of the general reactions, but is there any kind of one moment that stands out of one of the students who kind of responded well to something or like gave feedback on when a certain speaker came in?
Yeah. I mean, I think big picture, when those questions are being asked, you know, someone asked a question about how, like, I'm having trouble with, you know, when things are going bad at home, like, what can I do to, you know, help myself? And it was crazy how this person who they've never met before, you know, he has, you know, some sort of, he might be a little not famous, but just, you know, has some, you know, following, and how someone like that could say something as simple as, you know, like, you could always think positive, you could always believe in yourself, and like how that can like change her day and her like life, you know, and she thinks about that. So I think it's the power of how one person or one thing can say something that can really change your way in a positive like light, because they look up, oh, wow, this person, this, that. And so it's really important to, when they ask these questions, that's when I see like the aha moments when they relate to things or they ask about things and they could really see themselves in that place, right? Oh, like, you know, what is it like going to college in Santa Barbara? Or like, what is it studying abroad? I want to do that. You know, I want to go to Japan. And so like different ways that they can connect with that, I think, is the most important way, or things that can help, you know, guide them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And what do you have any ideas for folks who are coming in next, like future guest speakers?
Yeah. So we have one of my friends, he's a professor of photography at a college, and I want to get him in to kind of show the kids about, you know, the power of, you know, photography, the power of arts and what you can do with that and what photography can mean. And it's so cool because we actually read one of his books and he made a little zine, and it's like basically a very small picture book through words. So they have like a picture that has like, you know, 2 to 4 words on each page. And so how tangible that can be to them and how they can make their own books with their own pictures. And so as some of them are working on helping with the yearbook, and I kind of upload some of the pictures to a drive where they can use that. And you met Joanne last year, and she had that whole like poem like written up, and we made that book. And so that was really cool making that book and bringing that to life. So I think the kids can see like the tangibility. This is not something that like, if someone else is doing, it's something that they can really do, especially tell a story and the importance of what a photographer does, what a photograph can mean, and how it can share and tell a story. So,
yeah. And when I popped into your classroom, the one I was photographing, I don't know what type of class it was, but there was like rotational centers of chess and poetry. They were like writing poetry books. And then maybe there's a third, something else like independent project. I can't remember, but was that right? Or what was happening there? What kind
of? So that was a little kind of community meeting where we were exploring, you know, their interests and their passions. So there was a little center for writing poetry, a little center for playing chess. And then there were 2 other centers. One was like art, because a lot of them love like, you know, drawing art and expressing themselves through that. And it's just like finding a way to give them time to explore things that they enjoy doing. I find that is something that is extremely important in their growth and development, and also their excitement to be on campus and their joy of learning.
Yeah, totally. Especially in 5th grade. I mean, thinking back to my 5th grade experience, I definitely was not learning how to play chess or writing poetry, both of which I enjoy now and would love to do. So that's nice that you're bringing that into their lives.
It's definitely not a, you know, an easy thing to, you know, simulate 28 students every single day with like one thing they're passionate about. So it's like, if you do a really cool activity and you spend a lot of time doing it on languages, and, you know, 6 or 7 people are really engaged in, you know, that language, and then like seven of them are really invested in coding, you know, and it's important to have like multiple options. Cause it's like, yeah, at some point you want the entire class to do something, but at the same time, I'd rather have them do something more purposeful that they enjoy and explore that. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Great. And then kind of switching gears a little bit to more of what you enjoy specifically about like Rocketship and teaching here. What kind of keeps you at Rocketship, and what do you enjoy about teaching here specifically?
Yeah, it's a great question. Teaching at Rocketship has brought me so much joy because of the community of the kids and the families. Having these deep relationships with the families just bring a lot of joy, where we go out and do like, I'm going on a hike with one of the dads of a student. We went to Yosemite last year, and we're doing like an annual like trip there. We do birthday parties with all of our like students and their families, like all like the different friend groups. So I really love that aspect where it's beyond just the classroom, and where the bonds are really more so like we can trust each other. We can do events outside. They trust me to facilitate those events, whether it's playing football or taking them golfing or tennis or whatever it is. Just really trusting that relationship and just really embracing and enjoying that. And every time you see them, you know, it's a joy to talk. It's not like a chore. It's not a box to check. We got to get our parent partnership hours. I really believe in that, you know, connection. It's deep, it's meaningful. It's way bigger than just checking out 20 hours. So that's one thing, like the parent engagement is really, really strong. And I love that. And then just the community with the kids are so excited to be here. They're really excited to be with their friends. They love their teachers. And so it's like every time you come together, every time you see them, it's like one big community. And you feel very connected with them. So the community within the student base, also just, you know, the relationships you have with other staff members, and then the parent partnership. I feel really strongly about Rocketship and why I teach here. I really love it. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, love to hear that. And this is going to be on the Teacher PD Launchpad, which is like an advice-driven platform that we have. So with that lens in mind, the other teachers will be listening to this or reading this. And so if you could give a piece of advice to other teachers who maybe are trying to bring in more of an inspirational element to the classroom through guests, or I guess trying to bring more of a spark into their classroom, is there anything you would want to share on how to get that started or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think advice is a funny topic, because there's so much that I can grow. There's so much advice that I, you know, learn every day and grow. But from what I know, I think letting the kids have a block where they can really find something they're interested in is really, really important, because that's going to help them with their development, and just like interweaving different important concepts that you want to teach in class with something that's really relatable to the kids is just extremely important. And just not being afraid to find a time where you can, in a community meeting, show a 2-minute clip of Shark Tank and like a 7-year-old kid like investing and how that relates to creativity and curiosity and our core value, right? Or how you can, for our vocabulary little block, how you can weave in TikTok, right? And include something that's very educational that can really help them understand a really difficult concept in close reading or in writing that can relate to them. So I think it's that relatability of content to make the content engaging, to make it fun in all different blocks, and connecting that with all the amazing stuff that the network's doing is a really powerful combination where they can really make it stick. They can really be engaged and really understand that concept.
Yeah. It sounds like there's so much creativity just in how you think about teaching and the things that you bring into your lessons, which is, it's very cool. In terms of like how you stay inspired as a teacher, you know, like it's a lot of work to be a teacher, and we're grateful for all the work you do and everyone does. How do you stay motivated and stay inspired, like day in, day out kind of thing?
It's a great question. It is not not easy on the, you know, general basis to wake up when it's freezing cold and, you know, come to school. But at the end of the day, life is, it's the energy from the kids. I mean, that's the motivation for me. It's like every day is a day where you can have an amazing experience, amazing moment where a kid can change you, where you can change a kid, right? It's not like you're teaching kids. I learn from my students all the time. I feel like, you know, they're part of my family. They're my kids. And so just those relationships, just realizing that every day you could have these experiences that can change each other, that can change the world. So it's really important that we have that, you know, outlook on it, because we are doing amazing things and all educators are doing some really, really amazing things. So even if you may not realize it, you are having such an impact in a positive way on these kids and giving them life, giving them joy, and to not forget that.
Yeah, great. That's all my questions. So is there anything else you want to share that we didn't touch on?
No, that's those are some really good questions. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. And yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's year five for me. And I feel like there's a lot of things that are going really well. And, you know, I'm growing and learning. And just even being like a year five teacher, there's so many things that I can get better on, that I can improve. I'm not like some like amazing teacher. Like I am, you know, going through everything, you know, I struggle, I'm challenged by it. So whether you're like a year 15 teacher or a year one teacher, we're all kind of in the same boat. We're all struggling. We're all trying to find ways to, you know, do it better. So I don't want to come off as like, I'm some like, you know, amazing teacher who knows everything. I don't. I learn so much every day from my kids and I'm trying to get better every day. It's a really challenging job. And, you know, every year you teach, it gets harder and harder because you know more, you want to help more, you want to make a difference more. And so it's an amazing job that we have that has a lot of responsibility and challenges, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, the most worthwhile thing for me, at least. So I'm really lucky for the opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Brandon. And if you would like to read and hear more content like this, you can go to rocketshipschools.org/teacherpdlaunchpad. And that's our free resource hub created for elementary school teachers by elementary school teachers. And we have insightful blogs that are meant to inspire teachers during this time. And if you're interested in learning about our teaching opportunities at Rocketship, you can go to rocketshipschools.org/join our team to learn more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.